Chaitanya Prabhu Nityana Vishya Dvaita Gadadhar Shiva Sthari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamakunda Radha Kali Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Thama Ki Shri Mayapur Thama Ki Ganga Mai Ki Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulasi Maharani Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jainatai Gaura Vrinda Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yo
yo
yanta
yanta
pravishya
pravishya
bhutani
bhutani
bhuter
bhuter
Atya kila shraya
Atya kila shraya
Sa
Sa
Vishna 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 kyo
Vishna kyo
Hiragyo
Hiragyo
Sao
Sao
Kala
Kala
Kalayatam
Kalayatam
Prabhu
Prabhu
Yanta pravishya bhutani
Yanta pravishya bhutani
Bhuter atya kila shraya
Bhuter atya kila shraya
Savishvakyo diyagyo sao
Savishvakyo diyagyo sao
Kala kalayatam prabhu
Kala kalayatam prabhu
Yontaf pravishya bhutani
Yontaf pravishya bhutani
Bhuter atya kila shraya
Bhuter atya kila shraya
Savishyakyo diyagyo sao
Savishyakyo diyagyo sao
Kala kalayatam prabhu
Kala kalayatam prabhu
Yontaf pravishya bhutani
Yontaf pravishya bhutani
Bhuter atya kila shraya
Bhuter atya kila shraya
Savishyakyo diyagyo sao
Savishyakyo diyagyo sao
Kala kalayatam prabhu
Kala kalayatam prabhu
Yanta pravishya bhutani. Bhutani,
Bhutayatya
Kilashaya,
Bhutayatya Kilashaya,
Savishnatyo Diyagyosau,
Savishnatyo Diyagyosau,
Kalakalayatam Prabhu,
Kalakalayatam Prabhu.
Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, is the time factor and the master of all masters. He enters everyone's heart. He is support of everyone, and he causes every being to be annihilated by another. Purport. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is clearly described in this passage. He is the supreme enjoyer, and all others are working as his servants. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 5:14, Ekale Ishvara Krishna, the only supreme Lord is Vishnu. Arasha Britya, all others are his servants. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods are all servants. The same Vishnu enters everyone's heart as Paramatma, and he causes the annihilation of every being through another being. So now he's brought in time factor, and from this is established the Lord is in everyone's heart, so everything is going on by his direction. So all activities of the world are happening. Then we see here that he is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. So from endeavor, you get a result. That result then ends in something that can be enjoyed. So he is that enjoyer. And then we see is that being in the heart, he's arranging all living entities in the interaction identification in this world and with each other, that they are the cause of each other's situation in the world, or in other words, their destruction. So we see as we're coming a complete circle here. From him being the supreme controller to the enjoyer, and then as those facilities move back to the position of the controller, then each living entity trying to control each other is destroying the other. And here it's interesting to note is that in the position of relationship, of identity, then you have the controller and enjoyer. So now, if you have two controllers, nothing is happening. you're having two enjoyers, nothing is happening. But when you have a controller and an enjoyer, then you have a relationship there. There's something dynamic. So in here is we have to understand Krishna, he is the supreme enjoyer. So him as the enjoyer, then that means when he moves to the position and prayojana of enjoyment, that means our position in sambandha is that of servant. If we actually think we're master, we're enjoyer, then there's a conflict. Right? It's very important in relationship to understand there's always this dynamic of who is in control of the situation and who is the receiver of the activities of the situation. If that is properly understood, relationship is there. If it's not understood, there'll always be a problem in the relationship. If you're going to have two persons, someone has to be performing an activity and someone else has to be the object of that activity. Right? But if both are trying to be the object or both are trying to be the subject, it doesn't work. Right? Right? If I say, Bill Jack sees, then what's going on there? Right? Is there any relationship between Bill and Jack? No. There's no relationship. But they're both seeing. But if I say Bill sees Jack and Jack sees Bill, then there's a relationship. Understand? Very simple. Or sees Bill Jack. So what's the relationship between Bill and Jack? Nothing. Just they're being seen by another party. They have no relationship themselves. Right? So someone must be the subject, someone must be the object, otherwise it doesn't work. So when Krishna moves into the position of the enjoyer, then that means in the position of relationship, he's the enjoyer, we're the enjoyed. Then you have subject-object. Otherwise, what's going to happen is there's a conflict. We're trying to do what Krishna's doing. Right? Krishna's universal form is seeing all things, tasting all things, smelling all things, and we want to be in the same position. There'll be a conflict. Right? There'll be a conflict. So it's being pointed out here, then in another way, is that the time factor, then it's the same process. The time factor is in the masculine position, that puts us in the feminine position. The time factor is acting. We're responding to that action. Right? Does that make sense? According to our position, right? The feminine position, the masculine position acts. And according to that action, we respond. Right? So, living entity in a, when it comes to age, so we're taking age as the field. So, depending upon our age, the time factor then will act upon that. We will respond by getting older. So it's still a relationship with Krishna. It's another way Krishna relates with us. We are, feeling bad, right? That's our position. The time factor, in the feminine position, the masculine position, then time acts upon that. And then the result is we respond by being not so feeling so bad with time, right? Or very happy now, very elated. And then by the influence of the time factor, we respond by becoming not so elated. You understand? So what's going on is always a relationship. There's at no point that Krishna's not relating to us, that Krishna's not interacting and we're not responding. Illusion means we don't acknowledge this. We don't accept this. We think it's just going on. Time is one thing, I'm another thing, material world's another thing. And then there's God. Nice. But what's being brought out here again and again by Kapila Muni means we'll look at, very technical verses, all about time and the Paramatma and seeing, and if you don't, then there's a problem, all this and that. what is being brought out here? What's the underlying theme? It's not the technicality. Technicality is the medium being used here. What's being brought out? Being brought out, Krishna's relationship with the living entity. Right? That no matter what the situation, whether it's this very technical things, whether it's very sweet pastimes, whatever it is, Krishna is interacting with the living entity. Why do we bring this up? Because the element comes in is that one is either we don't accept the Supreme, and so therefore you can't have a relationship with him because you don't even acknowledge he exists. Right? Natural. Then you have the other aspect. Okay, let us say I acknowledge he exists. But just because I acknowledge he exists doesn't mean that I want to have a relationship with him. Right? He's God. He controls everything. Okay, nice. But it doesn't mean we have a relationship. We go on day by day in our life, living in a country that there are, you know, you have the head of the country. They're controlling the country. Do we care? You know, if we ask, you know, who controls the country, we can say who's controlling. We may even know their policies. But do we care in the way of relationship? No. So in the same way, he's God, he controls everything, the sun, the moon, everything is moving, not a blade of grass. Okay, nice, but what is in that consideration, does that enhance your relationship with that person, or is it just a fact about God? Right? Does that make sense? That's why it's very important that rasa does not mean the describable forms, right? That's part of it, because that's the medium through which rasa is carried. But it doesn't mean you're experiencing rasa, right? Important to note, this is the difference between the sahajya understanding and the the proper, or you could say, official Gaudiya Vaishnava stand. Is, you know, we can describe Krishna's guy with a, you know, yellow dhoti, and he has a sash, and he wears his chadar and his turban. You know, he's standing in threefold bending form. We can describe these things. But the point is that just a matter of facts, or is it a matter of somebody that you would actually like to have a relationship with, you would like to get to know? Right? Because, you know, most people in the world accept that there's God and he's controlling everything. But do they accept he's a person in actuality? No. Because when God controls the world, he's doing that through Brahman and Paramatma. Right? And if we, you know, think about it, why is Prabhupada in every purport here bring up the point when you're dealing with those aspects about Krishna as a person and developing a relationship? Because the standard setting for dealing with Brahman and Paramatma levels is impersonal. Right? The impersonalists deal with Brahman, they're interested in the impersonal as the ultimate. The yogis, they deal with Paramatma, but they can also take up the impersonal. So it's not that the personal aspect, meaning as a relationship, as a permanent relationship, is necessarily desired just because we accept he's controlling everything and karma and this and that, he's entered everything, he's between everything, nice. Those are all facts. But do you want to have a relationship with that person? That's the question. So you see is that this is what makes the Bhagavatam special. Any Vedic, but especially Bhagavatam, is that this element of rasa is constantly being brought out, but in every medium. We may think, oh, all these technical things, this, that. But we have to understand, most of the Vedas are technical. They deal with the technique of this world. And we may say, well, what's so important about that? Our day-to-day life works on technique. You cook lunch by technique. You wash your clothes by technique. You comb your hair and put on your makeup by technique. Everything you do is technique. All the Vedic literature is therefore describing technique, so it's in connection with the Supreme Lord. But having described that, that there is technique, there is a connection between the Lord and technique, the point is ultimately, do you want to be having a relationship with that Lord of everything? That's what Krishna is interested in. Krishna is not actually interested in all the other things, being recognized for his technique, this and that. That's nice, is that if it's a medium for interaction. But in on its own, that's why the primary and secondary names aren't very interesting to Krishna. Right? Ishwara and Paramatma and Brahma, all these things is that, yes, he's in that position, but it doesn't naturally invoke relationship. It's not describing relationship. Nanda Nandana, what's that describing? Him as God, the Supreme, no, as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yashoda Nandana, Gopijana Vallabha. It shows relationship. So this is what's important to Krishna, is relationship. Right? Unfortunately, the sentiments and that are generated by relationship, if it's not understood actually what is relationship, we can still convert them into an impersonal position. Right? This is our, you could say, our expertise. If there's one thing we're expert at in this world, consistently, it's probably this. The ability to take the natural position of relationship and convert it into something, you know, not personal. That I just upset somebody. Right. So, the idea then is Kapila Muni is pointing out the various ways by which we can know the Lord as a person, have a relationship with the Lord as a person. That's what's being brought out here. So all these different things. Why does he enter the heart? Why is he support? Right? Why is he causing each one to be annihilated by another? Why is he doing this? Right? We're in this world, why are we here? Right? We have some greater cause, some great purpose than this. No, we're here for ourselves. We're in this world because we want to be here, we want to enjoy here, control here, you know, do whatever we want to do here. Right? And we're hoping that everybody else is going to cooperate. Of course they don't, so that ends up with this part about the annihilation, right? The annihilation aspect is then the symptom of everybody not cooperating with us, because then you have to annihilate them to get done what you want. But Krishna, he's in the heart. Why? Right? Why would he bother? Right? Would you go sit in the heart of somebody you didn't care about? Right? Or somebody you were inimical towards? Right? Would you want to have anything to do with someone you were inimical towards? No. So he'll sit in the heart no matter what situation. He's guiding. Right? He's supporting. Whatever it is that you want to do, he's supporting. So that means Krishna as a person is there in your heart to interact with you as a person. Right? This is one thing that's very important to note from his dealings. Is that, now is there any time when you see something doesn't work right? In the way of, you go to apply, you want to move your hand, and, you know, there's everything's fine about it, but it doesn't work. No, it works. If it doesn't work, there's an obvious obstacle. There's something else, you know, this annihilation aspect. So what does that mean? That means that every moment Krishna is conscious. He is conscious, so he is fully conscious all the time. So that means when he's interacting with the living entity, he is always fully committed in that relationship. Right? So when it says, no one's his friend, no one's his enemy, but that doesn't mean he doesn't relate. Okay, if we say, okay, no one's my friend, no one's my enemy, what is our natural thing we think? Well, I don't interact with anybody. Or I keep it very, very formal so that nothing happens. No, but Krishna's right there, whatever you need. You want to move your arm, he moves it for you. You want to scratch your head, he scratches it for you. He's fully conscious, fully aware, fully committed to the relationship. Right? Now the thing is are we going to reciprocate that? That's the question. Right? So this principle of always wanting attention, always wanting to be noticed, always, Krishna's doing that. He's the only one that is consistently always doing that. Everybody else, as it comes within their purview, they give you attention or not. And it's not necessarily consistent. Krishna, it's consistent. You're always included in Krishna's activities. You're never excluded. Right? Krishna is always interacting, even if he's interacting with, so if he's interacting with you, you feel full attention, right? Isn't that what we're looking for? Is that a relationship where when you interact consciously, it's full attention, not distracted, not thinking of work, of your service, of your japa, you got to go to the bathroom, nothing. It's that you are, you know, the fully committed in the relationship. So that's what Krishna is doing. Whatever you're into, he's right there as Paramatma, taking care of everything. As Brahman, he's the energies that are making everything move in this world. He's there. And even if someone else is the focus of attention, you're still included. Right? He doesn't cut off. He is still included. Right? So he's there, he's interacting with Radharani. It's not that the other gopis feel left out. He's interacting with Mother Yashoda. It's not that the cowherd boys and the gopis feel left out. He's interacting with the cows. It's not the cowherd boys and the gopis feel left out. Nobody feels left out. So even though he may be focusing more on one person, it's not that his consciousness of the individual living entity is ever lost. So even though we are unlimited, the numbers of jivas, God is also unlimited, and so, and he being conscious, can be conscious of each and every one, always. That's his unique position. That's what makes him who he is. Now, so we can say, wow, he's so great, that's there, but what's the purpose of that greatness? To relate, to interact. Right. So, this is what is being given, which is what's being shown, is whatever it is you're looking for in this world, it's right here with this person. It's not somewhere else. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you very much. When you're talking about relationship, Bill and John C.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and John serve Krishna. Relationship, Bill and John?
It can be, but the point is you have to be conscious of it. Right? In other words, what we're seeing is that could you all hear?
Mm-hmm.
Repeat the question. He was saying is that when I've given an example about Bill John C., that's why I didn't use the and. You understand? Because you can do that in other languages, only in English, and it's a little bit. Nuance-wise and subtleties-wise, English is a very good language. But as far as technical grammar goes and explanation, it's one of the worst in the world. But it's a very good medium for moods and everything like that. So that way, the ultimate purpose of communication is that. So it works quite well. But we're saying Bill John C., you know, so let's say Bill John C. Krishna, okay. But now, is there a relationship between the two of them? I mean, you can say ultimately yes, because you're connected to Krishna, so, you know, does one leaf on a tree have a relationship to another? They're all part of the same tree. But the key is consciousness. Why Krishna is related to everyone, because he's conscious of the relationship at every moment. There's never a moment where he's not. But we may drop that consciousness. So that's why sometimes people will feel left out. Not that, you know, and we say, no, but you're here, we're included you, but you forgot about them. That's the whole thing, is that the ability to focus on the activity and not drop, it means the relationship, it means activity is the next stage of relationship. You have a relationship, then there's an activity in that relationship, then there's a result. So now, to perform the activity, you have to be conscious of the result, and you have to be judging your action against the, you know, the manifestation of the result as it comes. Is it going in the right direction? Is it the correct action for at this moment to get that reaction, that result? So that focus is there, but then if you drop the relationship part, then what's the meaning of the action result? Yes, you get the result, but what's the meaning? So many times we see in a relationship we become so focused on the result, and when we get the result, the other party that it was intended for has no interest in it. Why? Because they weren't part of the whole process. Right? So in other words, what's being brought out here is the actual fundamental science, you know, the bare bones, nuts and bolts science of what a relationship is. If it doesn't have these, you can't call it a relationship. But we, in our, you know, in basically ignorance, arrogance would probably be the most strong, because that arrogance stops our actually being conscious. Or if we drop the arrogance, because we're so, that arrogance is based on being self-centered, so even if we drop the arrogance, then we have to be the victim. We have to be the center of attention anyway, like that in our insecurity. Then we actually don't follow the rules of relationship. So Bhagavatam is teaching, the Vedic literature is teaching us the science of relationship, because the soul can't function without it. The soul is in an environment of relationship. We're always surrounded by the Lord and His energies, and we're interacting with them, but we fail to recognize that actually that's what's going on. The only thing a living entity, any living entity is doing, is interacting with the Lord and His energies. There's nothing else you can do. But depending upon that degree of illusion, he sees that or not, or acknowledges some of that or not. You know, okay, when I go to, you know, a special building set aside, you know, a designated building for the purpose of getting together and having some remembrance of God, you know, on that day or that time or that place, then I may be aware, so that's better than never being aware. But then when I walk out of that designated building, the tendency is to think, I'm just on my own, in my own world. God's, you know, God's out there somewhere and having some, but it's my world. Right? So that's the illusion. No, even no matter what you're doing, something as inane as, you know, cleaning your fingernails, still, the concept of cleanliness, the methods by which you obtain cleanliness, that's still Krishna. Right? Cleanliness is the cause, dealing with the nails and cleaning them is the effect, and the process is then how you go about connecting your nails and the dirt under your nails to the goal of cleanliness. So the goal is Krishna. The situation is His energies, and the process is His energies. So all, and it's not that we created that. Otherwise, if we created it, why is it that the process of cleaning the nails is the same everywhere in the world with every living entity? Right? It's not that it's different. If we were creating it, then everyone's an individual, it would be different, just by nature, slightly different. And because of our need for expressing our individuality, it would be very different. But then there's a consistency shows that we're not the cause of it. You know, the effect that we see in front of us, that we're not the cause, other than we desire it. But the actual mechanics of how our desire is affected is Krishna and His energies. Not us. He's doing it. Therefore, then there's a process. You clean your nails properly according to, you know, the process. It works. They don't get clean. Like that. It's it. He, as cleanliness, sets the standard. His energies, as the form of it, set the standard. And, you know, the process of interaction. So what are we actually doing? We are assisting in His energies attaining the state of cleanliness, which is Him. So at all times, we're servant of His servant. No matter what nonsense we're doing, No matter what nice thing we're doing, it's still that. And if we don't recognize that, that's illusion. Even you're doing nice, great things, feeding people, clothing people, take care of people, concerned about people. But if you're not seeing Krishna, you're an illusion. Nice illusion. Right? You're arranging food for the people. Right? Going around, going to all, you know, influential people, getting them to, you know, give donations, getting permits, shipping the things, getting it there, working out the trucks to move the stuff, to get it to places where people are there. All that process, you're still moving there. Yeah, wealth, that works according, wealth is what you're looking for. That's still, there's a process for it. The energies are still Krishna. And it's how you're serving those energies. Transportation is still to move something, that ability to move, that's Krishna. Then there's processes that are there. Those processes are Krishna's energies. Then we're doing all that. Nice, great, but are we remembering Krishna? And then the guys that come along, and as it goes through the, you know, the little ravines and all that like that, they jump out with their guns and steal all those grains and everything and take it to their place. Right? So, but they're still having to use the process. If they don't stop the trucks, can you steal it? No. If they don't create a reason to stop the trucks, will they stop? No. But what is the methods? Come out and say, you know, if you don't stop the truck, then we're going to, you know, force you to eat so many lollipops, you know, you get sick. You know. And then the guy, woo, yeah, okay. Take everything. No, they have to do something that creates fear. Right? And so it's still, fear is what? Time. So they're still working with Krishna, even though they're performing all nonsense activity. This is the important element. Religionists cannot see this. Moralists cannot see this. Their illusion is so strong. They won't accept, when they say God is all-pervading, God's, they won't accept it. Because God can only be what is good. But the point is the interaction of one thing with another, good and bad, is defined by him and perceived by us. So we say it's good or we say it's bad. The brahmacharis will say the grihastha's having sex to have children, that's not good. It's sense gratification. But the point is that's the process to have children. What's the problem? But in their perception, it's bad. So, it's our perception. But is that perception connected with the Lord? That's the point. Is that these fine points are being given to pick everything apart. We think, oh, boring. Or we think, you know, what's the meaning of this? But it picks it to the point where you actually see, do you actually have devotion and where or not? Otherwise, we may be working on sentiment. If that sentiment is fully focused on that, great. You don't need anything more. But if it's not, this is how you can find it. Otherwise, so many times we're talking, do this for this, do this for that, something for the kids, something for the cows, something for the women. What does Krishna have to do with it? And are we actually working with Krishna's energy in such a way that we're actually getting the effect we talk about? Are we even that expert? In our arrogance, do we even see, is the result coming? So, even on the what we perceive as the mundane action, we're not necessarily seeing God and His energies at work. Because whatever you're doing, it's Him. If that's understood, then what is the next stage of that? Where does this go from here? That means no living entity is actually separated from God at any time, any place, any circumstance. That means every living entity could be made aware of their relationship with God. And that means any living entity at any stage could become God conscious and go back to Godhead. Now what impact does that kind of vision have on preaching? And what kind of impact has on preaching when your purview of the world and all the living entities is through these narrow aspects of religion or morality, where only good can be connected to Krishna and bad can't. So that means, who in this world is good? Of course, except for ourselves, you know, each individual like that. But outside of ourself, besides that, consider it, then who's good? Duryodhana couldn't find one good man on the planet. Everybody had some fault. Yudhishthira couldn't find one bad man. So now, which of these two personalities are we supposed to emulate? This is from the internet. Okay. Question. UK. Right. Does that make sense? So that means is that what we're being offered is one, the ability at every moment, no matter what we're doing, no matter how just ordinary it is, you know, trying to get a stain off the rug, you know, that, you know, the kid, you know, when they drop something on it and that really annoyed us because it was a really special rug. Even at that moment, Krishna can still be seen because the method to take it out, the concept of cleanliness, the concept of value, the concept of that sentiment, you know, of importance, that's still Krishna. And your hand is being manifest through that rug and all that. And the problem in that is then that stain. But still, to take that stain out, you still have to follow Krishna's prompt. You're still in connection with Krishna. Right? You know? And so, it doesn't matter what it is. Anytime, any place, anybody can be connected to Krishna. This makes the preaching mission dynamic. This is why Lord Chaitanya can pick up Jagai Madai, though no one else in Navadvipa would even look at them, let alone talk to them. And Lord Chaitanya had to stay. Anybody who considers Jagai Madai now that they've taken up Krishna consciousness is still sinful, they will take on Jagai Madai's sins. And there's enough of it. Enough to go around. So one doesn't have to worry there'll be a shortage. Hey, I want to criticize Jagai Madai. Am I going to get some of that sin? You know, I don't want to be left out, you know, so. Is that okay? Okay. But then here, just one. When a person dies of old age, is the annihilator in that case the time factor personified? It means at all time, anything that's going on is the time factor. And so you can say, you know, personified because that's where we really realize time. Time of death, then you understand your particular time in this form is up. But the time is always acting. We're always dealing with time personified. So, but in practical, then, yeah, it means that we're dealing with a certain manifestation, and those manifestations then are within the purview of God's options. So therefore, a particular body lasts a particular amount of time, it has a particular way, it's born, grows, maintains, dwindles, and dies. Like that. It does all that is still according to the blueprints given by the Lord. So the time factor, but we want it. So therefore, then we agree to work within that purview, and God is interacting with us as time. So that means at some point, then it just ends. So yes, you would say it's the time factor. Okay. Yes?
You're speaking how Krishna always has a relationship with us. And we're not aware, he's constantly aware. So how come it seems to be that when we wake up just a little tiny bit, you know, want to have a relationship with Krishna, how come he plays hard to get?
Why does he play hard to get? Okay. When we start...
He's so eager at all times.
Okay, but then that means who's in control, you or him? Who's setting the standard of what is relationship? Because are we conscious all the time? So then how are we going to have... In other words, you want to have a relationship of God. He's always conscious means you have to be always conscious. That's why Prabhupada says, first become conscious, then become God conscious. Because if you're not conscious, you can't affect anything in the cosmic creation. Means you cannot do any material activity if you're not conscious.
So are the gopis conscious?
Gopis are always conscious. Why is he never plays hard to get with the gopis. They're the one to play hard to get with him, if you know the pastime. He's really trying to get with them, and they're playing hard to get. He's reciprocating with them according, the point is he reciprocates according to how you deal with him. You know what I'm saying? The point is, it's like this. You're in the temple room and you're chanting and you have an epiphany how, you know, everything's Krishna and how you're connected with Krishna and everything like that. But then when you walk out and want to get involved in, you know, working out, you know, getting your new phone or something like that, do you want that same feeling to always be there? No, because if it's there, you might not want the phone. You know? Or you would really have to establish that this phone is actually connected to Krishna and see how it is connected to Krishna. Therefore, because you don't want to see him then, he's unseen. We're sitting in the temple, we're chanting, we want to see, so that's that. But the point is do you want to see him as a person or do you just want an experience? You know, because the experience is connected to what? The mechanics of things working. Right? So, therefore, you're mechanistically going through and trying to get that. But actually, the mechanics are based on the person. So, are you thinking of the person himself? You think of him, he's always there. That's the thing. The masculine principle doesn't play hard to get. It's women who play hard to get. Krishna's always there. You pay him anything, he's right there. But the problem is the next moment you forget because you think of something else. So he's the constant. We're the one that's not. That's the masculine principle. The masculine principle is always there, always ready to interact, looking for signs of interaction. A little sign, then they make so many steps. That's why does it say we take one step towards Krishna, he'll take 10 towards us? That's because he's masculine, we're feminine.
So you don't think, like, when gopis run out to Krishna in the middle of the night and then he says, go back home, that's not going to hard
again? No.
When the gopis are walking with Krishna, then he disappears from them.
Why does he disappear? What are they thinking of when he disappears? They're thinking we're the most fortunate girls in the universe, so their pride is coming up. But the point is it's not they're relating with Krishna. Krishna, I'm so fortunate to be with you. They're thinking in their own head, wow, we're so special that we get to be with Krishna. Krishna's not in that calculation. This is why these mechanics are here. That's why Vedanta Sutra goes down to the point of hair splitting, so you can tell the difference here. If you don't hair split, how do you tell the difference? And did Krishna go away? The next chapter, they're all there and separate. Krishna's there watching. But what's the point of the whole exercise? If you go back, is he wants to interact. He wants to have the rasa dance where he and Srimati Radharani are in the middle, both dancing, enjoying the dance. At the same time, they're surrounded by all the other circles of all the other gopis dancing with Krishna. And that they get to watch that. But to do that means all the girls that are there, and you're talking if it's Maharas, millions, they have to accept that Radharani is the head girl. Because in the girl's world, pecking order is everything. That means is pecking order. Pecking order is worked out, there's no conflict. But if the pecking order is not worked out, there is conflict. Right? So even a king has many wives. The head wife, she's the head wife. No ifs, no ands, and no buts. Rukmini is the head of 16,108 wives. There's no question of it. Krishna goes to a formal program. She goes. There's no other question. The pecking order is very clear. Right? And like this, he can only have 8 wives. So there's the head wife, and then there can be 7 others. If there's beyond that, they're not head wives. So they can't make the demands that those 8 can. And that of the 8, only that one can make those absolute demands. It's just the way it is. That's how energy works. It flows in a line. Right? So there's something at that end, something at this end. So Krishna wants to dance like that, but the gopis, they all think they're equals. They don't respect Radharani's position. Therefore, they're jealous, or will be jealous, and Krishna's not going to let them be jealous. Therefore, when they show that pride, which is the basis of their jealousy, they think, I'm special. And they don't understand Radharani's position. He leaves. That throws them into separation. So he's there with him in that mood of separation, in his bhava expansion. At the same time, as that then comes to a very pitched state, so it's very intense, so they taste the limits of their separation. They can't go beyond, that is their fullness of their realization. They don't need to, because that's their position. Then, having done that, then again they get interested to go search. Right? They search first, then get into all these paths, and then they search again. What happens when they search the second time? Right. And then when they see her separation, then it's like night and day. Then they understand this girl is the supreme girl of all girls. Having accepted that, then Krishna comes back. Because now you can have the rasa dance. Before the rasa dance, you don't just jump into activity. That's what men like to do. But you have to deal with preliminaries. So preliminaries, they have to sit on the bank of the Jamuna. And then, who's playing the hard to get?
When he comes back, you say?
The girls are sitting there and asking questions like, you know, what kind of man is it, you know, who, you know, had love for, but they, now is that, what is that? They're sitting there, but it's emotional hard to get.
Well, see, they're both like hard.
You're not catching the point. Krishna's always there. He's trying to do. He's trying, in other words, like this. Krishna is trying to be with the gopis all the time. But because of their mood and mentality, he has to separate himself to get the result of being with them. The gopis, they're being with them. Then even when they're with them, then sometimes it moves forward, sometimes it moves back. He goes to touch them. They say no. He looks. They pull the cloth. That's hard to get. The man's always after the girl. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the girl who plays hard to get. The man may play his cards right so he doesn't look so cheap or this and that, but this whole thing of, oh, no, don't call him immediately, you know, don't look desperate. That's what the girls do. Men don't do that. Men call. Because the girl wants to know she's important. He's interested. He cares. Then she can play hard to get to bring it out. But unless he calls, she can't play hard to get. If he plays hard to get, how does she play hard to get? Because when you're playing hard to get, it means the other party has to be moving forward. You understand? It's a science. It's a science. So you have to understand, what's the masculine, what's the feminine? So previously in the Vedic literature, these were understood. Therefore, men and women's relationships went smooth because the men knew how to be men and the women would be naturally women. But nowadays, the men are trying to be the woman. Like that. Desperately trying to be the woman. And it doesn't work. Because then, what's the pecking order? If it's two women, what's the pecking order? It's the man demands it's him. But the point is he's trying to be the woman. Who's better at being a woman, him or the woman? So therefore, in her mind, she's the boss. Now, you can't work this out. There is no solution to this. Therefore, they separate. Because the man acting as a woman is not submissive to the woman who is a woman. So therefore it won't work. So he has to be a man. And as a man, then if he's, you know, appears to be controlled by her, then she's happy because that means she's secure. She can control him means he's always there, relationship is there. At the same time, she doesn't actually want to be able to control him. He still has to maintain his independence. That's masculine. Women, what they feel like, they do it at the moment. The man has to balance between the two. That's what makes him a man. Is he can be submissive and be independent simultaneously. And all the areas that is independent, she has to be able to feel she can come and attack that fortress and defeat it. At the same time, it remains. That's feminine. So
That's the contradiction there. But the point is, men can deal with that contradiction. That's what makes them. They can't deal with it. They're not men. They start yelling, screaming, throwing things around the house, kicking things over. That's not a man. That's a woman. I hate to say it, but there's a good possibility 3 billion men on this planet got it wrong. Because this man here in this book doesn't do that. And we can confirm that he is a man. And everybody else we know is actually feminine. So that means he knows how to be a man, just like women know how to be women. The problem is that Jiva, if he wants to take the masculine position, has to be trained to be a man. Why do you think men go to Gurukul to learn to become men? Right? That's the whole point. The women, it's easy for them to be women. They just have to have a man around so it can be one. You can't be a woman if the guy's not a man. So if the man's complaining, my wife's not very feminine, or that's because he's not very masculine. It's direct, it's exact, it's 100%, it's absolute. There's no exceptions. But the men don't want to accept this because they want to be, they just because they feel like they're controlling an enjoyer, therefore it should work. But it doesn't work like that. Therefore, nothing happens. You understand? So you have to understand this from here. One can have doubts about it, but you have to know what the masculine nature is. So you have to be able to distinguish between Krishna not being with the gopis. It's not hard to get. It's actually trying to affect, you know, it's a plan to affect this thing. And the women being hard to get, which is their technique. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki, Jainatai Gaurava Premanandi ki.
Adi.
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 What did you say?
Adi.
Adi. Means annihilates.
Huh?
Annihilates.
Annihilates.
Destroys.
Destroys. Adi. By creatures.
The living entity. Yeah, one living entity destroys another.
Two questions. One is, I want to see something in the Russia. Oh, yeah. Not, you can see us now, but you want to see us in Russia. Okay. But two is, I often heard from the class, I often heard that someone said China Japanese said, etc. So women are 7 times more lost here, etc. etc.
This means more desire.
Yeah, it means that they are more controlling than men.
More controlling. What I mean. But it also means that they have the need for having some desire to tell them to do something is greater. So the lust doesn't mean it can be on anything. You know, like that. Clothes or ornaments or this, or position or society, all those things. It doesn't insist.
Yeah.
In total, you know, we'll interpret it to mean sex, but it doesn't mean something, just sex.
Yeah. Something more than that.
It's
something more than
that. Sex is just one part of it. Yeah, need to control, because if you control only, then they're secure. If they're secure only, can they enjoy.
Yeah, the control very subtle.
Yeah, very that's well. The whole point, is their control is subtle. So therefore, the men's control has to be, you know, overt. For theirs to be covert, theirs has to be overt. See, if the man is not acting, they have to overtly, you know, do something, be obvious. But as soon as the man shows interest, they're immediately going to be covert. Because that's their nature. Because who's going to work, the man or the woman? The man works. You know, so he works to get money, he has to work in the relationship. She'll respond, and he has to do the work. The man thinks, I work to, you know, get the money, but I don't have to work. No, that was the money, that's the facility, now you have to work in the relationship.
What happens to all the unconscious devotional service that we do for the institution, for the
person. We get benefit, but it's not as much as you get if we're conscious. Because we're doing it for, our ultimate goal is Krishna. Therefore, even if we're doing it unconsciously, it's still Krishna knows that we can explore. But now if you're conscious, you get even more of it.
Yeah, but the result of unconscious devotional service could be conscious devotional service.
Yeah.
Will it lead to conscious devotional service?
Yes. Well, life comes from life. From consciousness.